It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The 85th Texas legislative session kicked off today in Austin. Governor Greg Abbott gave opening remarks.
We are called upon by the people of Texas to act with courage, with integrity, with resolve, to forge an even broader path to prosperity for all Texans in this state.
Joe Strauss was unanimously reelected as House Speaker. 2 years ago, he faced a challenger. This year, the San Antonio Republican had no competition. This marks his fifth term as Speaker. That ties a record. In his acceptance speech, Strauss identified public education as one of his core principles that lawmakers will address over the next several months.
Our school finance system may meet the legal definition of constitutional, but parents and taxpayers know something different. They know that the system is broken, and they know that it is our job to fix it.
Strauss also called for mental health reforms and said the state must do more to improve child protective services. For the Texas legislature, the budget is tighter due to a dip in oil prices. State lawmakers will have less money to spend this session. They have about $105 billion in state funds. That's a 2.7% decrease compared to the last session 2 years ago. The state has a rainy day fund balance of more than $11 billion. State Representative Donna Howard says using some of those funds would help address the state's troubled child welfare system. The Austin Democrat talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
We have been balancing the budget, in my opinion, on the backs of children. We not only have the issue with the foster care system, but we have also recently heard about a large number of special education students not getting their needs met. There are many needs that we could be funding that help children, but I think that's a real moral and fiduciary duty we have.
State Representative Cindy Burkett is a Republican from Sunnyvale. She says there are problems when tapping into the rainy day fund.
The downside to using rainy day fund money for anything that's an ongoing budget requirement and not strictly for emergency situations, infrastructure or tornadoes, etc., is that it'll quickly be eaten down and you started, you know, using your quote savings. And then what happens when you get to the end of it? Obviously, we'll be looking at all areas of the budget to see where we can adjust accordingly.
Burkett says funding for child protective services and education are priorities for the Texas legislature. Most of us don't enjoy the stress we feel when we try to tackle great challenges. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with psychologist Ian Robertson about why experiencing the stress can actually make us stronger.
If you take someone that grew up, say, as a teenager, in the 1930s, before the Second World War, they experienced hardship, they experienced uncertainty, they experienced the depression. A student filling in a questionnaire, a depression questionnaire in 1938, would score an average of, say, on a standard questionnaire, 40 out of 100. That same student, 2008, will score an average 60. Now, why is that? Well, part of it is adversity, tough times toughen us and make us realize that life is not always hunky-dory and it's not a continual upward spiral of good expectations and success. The evidence is we need some failure in our lives in order to toughen us.
Ian Robertson is the author of The Stress Test, How Pressure Can Make You Stronger and Sharper. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, how a big city library has turned around the way it deals with some of its most marginalized visitors. As KERA's Courtney Collins explains, the Dallas Public Library is committed to not just tolerating, but welcoming every homeless person who walks through the door.
Dallas in the winter isn't exactly Siberia. On the day I spoke with 55-year-old David Jackson, though, it snowed, and the temps didn't crack 30 degrees.
It's cold, it's dark, and you got to lay your head down a spot that you feel safe. You just can't just lay down on anywhere.
Jackson usually sleeps under a bridge. He hasn't had a place to live in a very long time.
I've been homeless off and on a good 20 years of my life. You know, I'm an alcoholic. You know, I got issues, a lot of issues.
His issues include both addiction and mental illness. And the downtown Dallas Library is a haven on a raw January day.
The library is a good place for the homeless. It's warm. You got different floors to go to. You got You got your own space, you know, you ain't crowded.
Which sums up why so many homeless men and women gather at the library. It's clean, it's quiet, there's plenty to do. And in Dallas, the library tries to be welcoming.
We started out about 5 years ago, really engaging them as they came into the building, simply smiling and making eye contact and getting to know them as human beings was our first step, and it made a huge difference.
Joe Gadice is the city's director of libraries. She says this attitude adjustment is working. There have been fewer outbursts from homeless patrons inside the library, and not one official complaint lodged against a homeless person in more than a year. The downtown library has taken down all the no signs, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping, for example, and replaced them with signs that say things like, respect others. On days when the temperatures dip below freezing, staffers open up a little early.
Around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, depending on when we get it together, we do open the doors on the first floor and allow folks, everyone in. And we take an extra step and we actually serve hot coffee.
The library's Heather Lowe runs that early morning coffee show.
We have space and it doesn't take much effort other than maybe setting your alarm a little bit earlier to come in and just be with people and bring them out of the cold and have some conversation.
She loves how the ritual has helped the folks who work at the library figure out just how diverse the homeless population is.
They are concert pianists, or, you know, they graduated with an engineering degree, and it's really impressed upon me and staff here across the library that, you know, the only thing standing between any of us and homelessness is really a social safety net and a bad circumstance, some kind of catastrophe.
Which is why every January, library employees volunteer for the point-in-time homeless count. As Joe Gadice points out, it's a grueling nighttime exercise where people count the homeless where they live, on the street.
It is probably the longest, coldest, hardest night of your life. At the same time, it is heartwarming. At the end of the night, most of the team was crying, seeing the environments that people were living in out on the street.
Cindy Crane runs the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. She's also a member of the KERA Community Advisory Board. She says the count doesn't work without a lot of people counting.
Because we're talking about such an extraordinarily large geographic area, both Dallas and Collin County, in order for that count to be accurate, you literally have to have hundreds of volunteers to do a blitz count, all to go out on one night.
The library is a reliable source of volunteers. 40 staffers signed up last year. The library expects even more to turn out on January 26th. Gadice says that one cold night of harsh reality is a worthwhile window into a very different world.
There are people, we know them, so we want to make their lives better. We're striving to do that every day, and this is just another opportunity.
An opportunity to change the lives of those being counted, and to change the view of those doing the counting. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Find out how to volunteer for this year's homeless count at keranews.org. And finally, a programming note. You can listen to NPR's coverage of President Obama's farewell address tonight here on KERA 90.1 starting at 8. You can also watch PBS NewsHour coverage on KERA TV and on KERANews.org. You can watch, listen, and follow along with the NPR politics team of fact checkers. Mostly cloudy skies planned for the evening, low around 59. Tomorrow, also mostly cloudy with the high around 78. And tomorrow night, there should be a low around 64. It's currently 74 degrees in Dallas, 70 in Fort Worth and Tyler, and 60 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KERA News.